Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The day turned to evening, as it did for ages past, and has continued to do so until the end of this age. The disciples, as we often do, take for granted the rising and the setting of the sun. It's so regular, so ordinary, and mundane that the creatures in the created order simply expect the same thing to happen. The sun rises and the sun sets. It's the pattern of creation, day and night. So too, when storms arise, the disciples expected them to pass after a time, as do we. It's all part of the pattern of creation. Wind and waves whip up, and then after time, they die down and things go and things are still until the wind and the waves whip up again. As many as the disciples were fishermen, it's assumed that they had seen their fair share of bad weather on the sea. Now they knew what we do. That is, when it comes to storms, it's always far better to be on dry ground under a sturdy shelter when the wind picks up, the rain lashes down, lightning flashes, and thunder roars. We're taught to go to the lowest floor in the house, away from the windows, and from there wait out the storm. The place that you don't want to be in the midst of a storm is on a boat far from shore. For there is no shelter on the sea. And the lowest you can get when you're on a boat is the stern. And any lower than that, then you're in the water. The disciples knew this, and that's why they were afraid. For the storm came that night when they were far from shelter and dry ground, but out at sea in a boat. The waves were coming in. The boat itself was being violently rocked and tossed to and fro. Even without the thunder, lightning, and rain in this windstorm, there was no shelter for the disciples. Or so they thought. Brothers and sisters in Christ, oftentimes when this text is preached on, it's treated allegorically, taking the wind and the waves to be the experiences of life in this sin-infected creation. The wind and waves might be treated as things like difficulties in marriage, financial hardships, health issues, and what have you. And then the preacher will point out that Jesus is with you as you weather these storms. Now, while it is true, and thanks be to God, that Jesus is with you in the midst of those things, that is not what this text is originally and specifically about. This text is about first article things. This is, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth stuff. You'll notice that the storm that the disciples were experiencing was a real out there in nature storm, with honest to goodness wind and waves, not difficulties in marriage, financial hardships, health issues, and what have you. You'll notice too, brothers and sisters in Christ, that our Old Testament reading for today is from Job chapter 38. Where we have the creator of heaven and earth speaking to, grilling Job, one of his creatures, on his finite knowledge and his limited power over the things of creation. And you hear the Lord speaking these words to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far you shall come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. The God of creation is speaking about created things. If ever Job thought more of himself than what he should have, certainly in this moment, he was brought low, lower than the stern of a boat. For Job was made keenly aware that he was a creature and that God alone is the creator. We'll take that with our gospel reading for today, where we come back to the boat with Jesus and the disciples. And there we find the disciples having a literal come to Jesus moment as they came to him, shaking him from his sleep and shouting over the roar of the wind, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" They had to wake up Jesus, who was sleeping in the midst of a storm in the stern of the boat. And when he awakes, he simply says to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." He actually and completely stills the wind and calms the sea with his word. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? There is only one answer. Jesus is God. Jesus is the God of all creation. Jesus is the God who spoke to Job. Jesus is the God speaking. Jesus is God speaking to wind and waves. Jesus is God speaking to his disciples. Jesus is God speaking to you. If you look again at the text and look for the word fear, you won't find it used when the wind started whipping up or when the waves were crashing over the boat. You won't even find the word fear when the disciples wake Jesus from his rest. But you will find that they were filled with great fear after Jesus calms the storm. Now, presumably, the disciples were afraid of drowning. But they were far more afraid of the fact that Jesus calmed the wind and stilled the seas with his very command. Well, isn't that revealing? The disciples were in the presence of the one through whom all things were created. And they were at first more afraid of the wind and the waves, those things of creation. They were more afraid of the things of creation until the one who created them spoke and stilled the storm, and they were filled with great fear. And here you and I sit or stand on dry ground in the shelter of this sanctuary. And I ask you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how often are you more afraid of whatever the situation that you find yourself in than truly fearing the one who has the power over your situations? And no, this isn't a digression into allegory, because here we encounter Jesus as God, who has the power and the authority over all things, seen and unseen, and holds it all in the palm of his hands, the very wind and the waves, and of course, also the marital difficulties, the financial hardships, the health issues, and what have you. As creatures with finite perception and limited knowledge, we tend to fear the physical circumstances over the one who reveals that he is in control over all things. The God of creation is present with us, and often we act as if he is not. Our faith is weak, and our fear is misplaced. The first commandment is that we should have no other gods than the one true God. Luther asks the question, well, what does this mean? And answers simply that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. In the boat, the disciples were beginning to see this. When Jesus spoke and calmed the storm, they began to see that Jesus is truly God. And because of that, they became afraid in the presence of the Almighty, who just a short moment ago was asleep on the cushion in the midst of the storm. So too should we rightly fear God. Not supposing him to be asleep or unconcerned with our situations, whatever they may be. For he created you. He knows you. He knows your highs and your lows, your good and your bad, the things that you do and say in public and in private. He knows you, and he knows whatever situation you find yourself in. And that in and of itself should foster in you a healthy fear of God. Fear of God, yes. But we're also called and invited to love and to trust in him as well. See, the text reveals more about God's nature than that he simply has the power and authority over his creation. You'll notice from this text that he does indeed care that the disciples are perishing. And he is moved to do something about it. He saves them. He shuts up the wind and stills the waves, and then the disciples see a little more clearly that Jesus is not only the God of creation, but that he is about the rescue and the salvation of his creatures and his creation as well. Here in this moment on the sea is a foreshadowing of a greater rescue that is still yet to come in Mark's gospel. The rescue and the salvation accomplished by Jesus on the cross. Though Jesus was lifted high up on the cross, it's there that he demonstrated the depth of his humility. He willingly was brought low for you. For he saw that you too were perishing. And he cared enough to do something about it. Before he was buried in your tomb to sleep your death, he cried out from the cross, "It is finished. You are forgiven." These words spoken from the cross are for you, for me, for all. The strong word of the Lord that quieted the wind and the waves on the sea is the same strong word that declares your sins forgiven. The strong word of God that created all things is the same strong word that recreates, that rescues, and redeems all things. As we sung, "Thy strong word did cleave the darkness, at thy speaking it was done. Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness." From the cross, your sin, public and private, has been forgiven. The God of creation is the God of recreation, and Jesus has, in fact, made you new. For Jesus has rescued you, not only from the forces of nature, but from your sinful nature, from death, from the power of the devil. He indeed cares that you are perishing, and he has come to your rescue. He cares for you in the midst of real storms, with wind, thunder, and lightning, and during whatever metaphorical storms of life that you are currently weathering. For when the waters from the font crashed over your brow, and the wind of the Spirit blew over you, you were claimed as the Lord's. When you hear the word of the Lord and you are terrified from your sin, remember your baptism and that there the God of creation began to recreate you. When your fear is misplaced, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he himself will lift you up. From the cross, Jesus has rescued and recreated you. We sang, "From the cross, thy wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise to thee who light doth send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. It is for this reason that we are not only to fear the Lord, but to love Him and to trust Him as well. Not only is the God who creates, He is the God who saves. There is no other. Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? It is Jesus, God in the flesh, who is strong and mighty to save. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.